I came up with a list with the help of some of our eldest members, Kent Gushis, who knows almost everything, apparently. No, just kidding. Just kidding. But from the beginning, our founding pastors, their daughter, Dory, married Hal Donaldson, who they started Convoy of Hope and has reached, I mean, billions of people. Rick Wagner and Mark Metzger from this church have worked at Convoy of Hope. And Kent and Vicky, he wouldn't tell me this, so I had to add this to, but they volunteer and go on trips all the time. So they're not always just watching TV at home and afraid to make the trip to church. Like, when they're gone, they're supposedly in other states. Just kidding. No, but they do. But they're part of fulfilling God's call and doing ministry from, you know, coming out of our church. Mark Metzger is with Compassion International. Conroy Beckel is with Mercy Ships. Resh Arroyo is with Alaska Student Partnership. Rianne Bauman Anderson is with Chi Alpha. I keep going. This is amazing, the amount of people who have come from our church. In the pastoral ministry, Jordan Gunderson, his sister Amber Gunderson Gerstmann has been in the ministry. Jordan Bronberger's been in the ministry. Jessica Gushis Cruz. Allison Gedrose, Asante, and so we've probably missed some, but I love that this church has raised up people for however long they were here and helped to catapult them and mobilize them and send them out. And when I talked with Nolan and Cammie Sanders about speaking today, I really believe, I should have said this while the children are here in service, but whatever the age, I really believe that God can call one or two or four of you today, seven of you maybe, that God will put something on your heart that might be bigger than you. And you may think, oh, I can't do that, or I can't go to that. That's probably just, you know, that's probably just the pizza I ate last night talking to me, right? But God could call you today. So be open to that. It doesn't have to look like selling everything you have and going to, you know, Africa or whatever, Europe. It could be doing something in our state, in our community, right? That just be open to being used by God and called by Him. The Assemblies of God, I tried to get some stats of the thousands of missionaries that we send out and into the thousands of countries that there are. Hey, we are a huge missions organization, denomination, fellowship, whatever you call it. We rely heavily on sending missionaries to other countries, and our church is supporting them as they go. So I praise God as I've thought through and read this list of people just from little Carrington, North Dakota, who have had a huge global impact on the kingdom of God. Okay? So as you hear from Pastor Nolan, and as you think through what offering you could give, what you could do, as he tells stories and inspires us, be open to what God might be speaking to you to do and to give. And so, Father God, I just love you, Lord. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the rich history that we have. And today, November 24th, 2024, we are committing again. We are going to be a church that reaches people. We are going to be a church that serves, God. That you would call us, that you would open opportunities for us. Help us to see the things you are calling us to do, the people you are calling us to reach, and how we can reach them, Lord. Help us to continue to invest, God, in helping missionaries to fulfill the call that you've placed on their life. Unfortunately, I've heard of stories of missionaries unable to go just because of purely for financial reasons. They can't get enough money to make it, Lord. Help us, God, to stop that from happening, Lord. That the North Dakota missionaries that are called to go, that we would help to supply their need, Lord. You would use us. Help us, God. Help us, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we pray this and make this declaration in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to have Nolan come in just a moment, but to introduce him, when I was in college, I did an internship X amount of years ago. No, it was in 2003. I'm not that old, but in 2003, I had the privilege of doing an internship with Pastor Nolan and Cammy. They were working as district youth directors in our state, so some of you remember them from that capacity. They've been lead pastors and youth pastors and you know other district positions, so they've been to this church before, and so you might remember them from all of that. But having an internship with Pastor Nolan and Pastor Winston at the time as well was just a great opportunity and wonderful people to work for and to learn from. And I'm really grateful for that opportunity. And as I was thinking when I invited them to come, my mind went back to a story that has only happened in North Dakota. I'm sure it could happen in other rural communities too, but I've been around the United States in Missouri and Washington and never had this happen before. But we were on a drive to a funeral, and I don't even know where we were at. Nolan doesn't remember where we were going, but we were on this highway and we make this curve, and it's at night, and we make this curve, and there's two ginormous horses. They were the biggest horses I've ever seen. I think they were like 20 feet tall. Okay, not that big, but they were horses just running down the highway. And there's kind of some flooding on either side of the road. And so we kind of slam on the brakes and follow these horses who are just running. And I was sitting there like, what? I just transported into 1864 or something. Like, what is happening here? But apparently horses get out and do whatever they want to do and run down the highway. So that was a memory that I, and we had some other stories that are fun to reminisce and enjoy the time. But I invited Nolan to speak to us today because they have a wonderful ministry in Europe and Asia where it's illegal to be Christians and have churches, but they found a way, and the Assemblies of God has a tremendous ministry and hundreds of missionaries over there that are taking the gospel into those sensitive countries. And he's going to speak to you about one opportunity that our church is going to partner with. His app that he'll talk about, we're going to partner with a church in Ellendale with Kevin Libby, and we're going to help them to get that app put into the Estonian language that another one of our missionaries, Jordy Nunez, the coffee guy with the big hair and big dude that has come before. So we're going to, by doing that, we're going to partner with two of our missionaries. So Nolan's going to tell us a little bit more about that. That'll be an upcoming project, so it's not going to happen today or anything, but since he's here, I want him to tell us a little bit more about that. So would you welcome Nolan and Cammie Sanders? She's going to speak to us as well. God bless you guys.
Hi, everybody. It is great to be here again and see many familiar faces, Ray and Peggy, from when we were DYDs, and you guys were the youth people here, and the Tops, and the Gushus families that we've known for years, and Cammie's brother pastored here many years ago, Kevin and Tina Peterson, so we feel like we're at home, so it's good to see you. And we have saved the best for last. This is our last stop in North Dakota. We've been traveling most of 2024. You're the best. You're last. And I can say it because nobody else will be able to dispute it from here on out. I did notice one problem with your beautifully remodeled church today during greeting time, and that is that you like each other entirely too much. I noticed he played a little music. That was your chime, you know, to get back in your seats. I love that. And how many of you, like, look at the person across from you at the tables. Just look at him. It's kind of nice to see each other's eyes, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with that. Kent was saying it's a little hard for him from his past, but this is like our wheelhouse, so we're perfectly comfortable making you uncomfortable. And so it's great. It's great to be here at Harvest Festival. This church has a very long history of supporting the work of God around the states and in other countries and workers, as Pastor was saying. He didn't mention, Becky was reminding me how his entire internship, I called him Jeff. And I have since in the years. It just burned in my brain. I have no idea why. So it's great to be with Pastor Jeff. I don't intend to change. So he's just going to have to adapt. There's a lot of Kevins in this state, so we'll just help that problem out. I know many of you support missions and stuff around the world outside of your giving to the church. You could put your flag on that map out there in the foyer, and I think it's beautiful because that's God's spirit for all of us, saying we take responsibility for our neighbors. We take responsibility for our communities, those that we see, we get to talk to, we get to love. And we take responsibility for the rest of the world. And that's beautiful. It's great to be with you because you're disciples of Jesus, and that's all we are. Just look at your neighbor and say, hello, disciple. That's what we are, right? I know you don't maybe think about that, but we're all just disciples of Jesus. And many time zones ahead of you today, around the world on a Sunday, people gathered together in the name of Jesus, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and they gathered. And in some places, it was before today. Maybe in the Islamic world, it was on a Friday because that's the day in which everything shuts down. And they probably weren't able to gather in a place like this. It might have been in a living room with 8, 10, 12, 15 or less than that number. And yet it's the same spirit of Jesus in that room. They may not have a pastor that you're blessed to have. They certainly wouldn't have had a worship band if there's only 8 of them. But they would have had their voices, and maybe they could sing and play music and sing, but maybe because of their context, they actually could just read a psalm and worship with their prayers. But in every situation, whatever it looked like, the Spirit of Jesus was there. And that's what the Universal Church of Jesus is around the world. There's no denominations, there's no Free Will Baptist, there's no Assemblies of God, there's no First Lutheran, there's no Second Adventist of whatever. It doesn't matter. Eventually, we're going to be in God's eternal kingdom, and we're just going to be disciples of Jesus living forever with him. And that's the beauty of what we have. And so we're excited to share a little bit of the 15 years since we quit being the district youth directors of what God has done.
Well, I had a really good time this morning in the children's church, just trying to describe for them what it is to be a missionary, and also what do missionaries do? Like, what is it like to have church in a house, in a country where it's illegal to do that? And your children are wonderful. Wow. They are, give yourself a big hand. Like, they are just, congratulations on having a space like this. It was amazing. They just listened so well. And I just really sensed God is calling your children. God is calling them. Some of them will stay here, but just be prepared. Buckle up, buttercup. Some of your children are probably going to continue the heritage and the legacy of this church, and they are going to carry Jesus as the bread of life. A missionary is basically this. See, God has a mission. God has a mission. If God wakes up in the morning, he doesn't because he never sleeps. But if he did, he would wake up going, today, the gospel is going to go this place. Today, the gospel will go there. It's his heart that every corner of the world will hear the invitation to live in his kingdom and to know that they're loved by God, to walk in his kingdom. And the church carries God's mission. So you carry that. That heart of God is in you. Missionaries are sent when there's an area where the church does not exist. Where the church is not in existence, you need a missionary to go there, share the gospel, make new followers of Jesus, plant the church. And then we go to a new location where the church does not exist. That's what a missionary does. And Nolan and I have done this for, 15 years. We've lived in India, we've lived in Turkey, and we worked for the country of Iran by living close to that country. And you can go to the next slide. You know, in this one street in the country of Istanbul, how many people do you think you can count there? One street, a lot of people. And in this one street, you would probably notice, well, I would just like to share that there is probably nobody on that street would say that they know a follower of Jesus. They themselves are not followers of Jesus. Not only do they not know a follower of Jesus, they've never even met a follower of Jesus, someone like yourself, and they most certainly have not been a part of a church. The need around the world is so overwhelming, and I wish I could bring all of you to just stand on that street with me and just look out and imagine, what are we going to do with this many people when the need is that great? Well, we were overwhelmed many, many times, honestly. We would drink tea with our neighbors. We would think about the call of God in our heart, and we would just be overwhelmed by the need. So many millions of people. But God gave us a resource, an idea, so that no longer will the borders and the restrictions and the persecution keep the gospel from going inside some lands. We found a way and a resource that we could allow them to carry the gospel. And we just wanted to share through a video first a little bit about what that resource is. So it is about technology, but just know it's about the people that you see in that street.
This world is filled with thousands of languages and unique cultures. Within these unique cultures, half of the world's population live without access to the good news. We know that Jesus wants to invite each of them to follow him and live eternally. It is his joy to see communities of faith formed among them. However, there are hindrances. Governments and other religions restrict and prohibit followers of Jesus from visibly meeting together. They suppress the message and any resources containing the good news through intimidation, surveillance, and persecution. God's global workers are overwhelmed by the complexity and cost of creating and distributing discipleship resources. Resources for both the literate and illiterate, the blind or the deaf. What if we can overcome these hindrances by using the phone that is in every pocket? Apps created with Pattern Platform can overcome these hindrances while accelerating gospel sharing and disciple making at the same time. This is not just about creating another Bible app with translated American church content. Only the people and workers of the local culture know the needs of its culture. No single app can meet that need in every culture. However, an app creation platform can. Pattern Platform exists to help frontline global workers create simple, contextual Bible study apps. These apps empower small communities of faith in the world's difficult places to make disciples and plant churches. Apps created through Pattern allow any believer to share their app and its content with others under the radar of their government. The platform simplifies the process of designing and publishing of content so that global workers on the front line are not pulled away from their work. And finally, the cost of app design is minimized so the app itself is free for every phone. The effectiveness of apps like these is not a theory. We have exciting stories to share. We are believing for hundreds of apps in the pockets of tens of thousands of believers who plant millions of churches among the billions of unreached. Will you become part of overcoming hindrances that keep people from hearing about Christ? Will you become part of resourcing every culture to have access to the good news?
Thank you. You go to the next slide. We really want to see these simple Bible studies that can equip every single believer to know how to make another disciple of Jesus or gather with a group of people in their home, spread throughout the world. We believe that technology makes it now so that for the first time maybe in history, cost is no longer an obstacle at all. When we were working for the country of Iran, we would spend about $1.25 to produce this small Gospel of John that could be maybe more easily hidden so they could get it back into their country. We could do the same with a small resource of some sort. But there's a problem, because when this went back in at $1.25 and it was with those 10 people, how many were with those 10 people? One. Because paper doesn't magically multiply, and it's difficult, it's costly. Distribution is very difficult. But then we discovered that what if we could create an app and create an app creation platform that we could do that. The first full download, if I were to download them for them, cost me 9 cents. And now it goes into a group of 10, and now per person it goes phone to phone. It doesn't have to download again. It goes phone to phone. Now it costs me less than a penny per person. And then when it hits the next generation, now we're at a tenth of a penny per person. And now for all practical purposes, it spreads unchecked for free. And that was the goal of what we set out to create with Pattern. And so we say we didn't, to not be confusing, we didn't create an app. You can go to the next slide. What we decided to do was, with the Assemblies of God, was to create an app builder. That was to make it possible for any missionary, whether Assembly of God or evangelical in general, to be able to create an app in their language among who they were working for with their Bible study materials, not Nolan's, not any one person's, inside an app that they could then freely distribute among their people. We're so used to like one thing fits all. But when it comes to Jesus, there is no such thing as one thing fits all. Your culture here in Carrington is unique to this region. And when you get into languages in the world, thousands of languages, you say, well, those are obviously unique. But if you were to look in America, just in the language of English, how many unique cultures are there just in English? Go to the East Coast from Carrington. Go to the West Coast. You know, like, it's just different. And we thought, you know, every little group of people is worth it to Jesus, whether they represent a group of 500 or they represent a group of 500 million. And that's what we decided to try to make possible with the Assemblies of God. And we're pretty excited. Actually, this next slide is totally out of date. We're actually in 32 languages as of this last week, in just the last couple of years, helping missionaries. And we have people come up and say, oh, what about Malayalam or something like that? The difference is we don't choose a language and create something. We join a missionary where they're working and help them create for their people groups. So we don't create anything until someone comes to us and says, we have a need, can you help us? And we say, we'd love to help you. And so that's a little bit about what we're at. But as Cammie said, in the end, as you learn about the simplicity, it's all about the people. It's the same for you as it is for them.
Yeah, you could go to the next slide. Wanted to show you a picture of these amazing young women. So in a university students in a former Soviet country, these women are now being trained to make disciples and start small groups. And they're like from a countries where they're very marginalized, not looked at as leadership, definitely not looked at as people who should be talking. And they are realizing, no, Jesus has called me to make disciples. And with the apps in their hand, now there's some that are one Arab girl. Now she's focused on an Iranian girl. And it's just amazing. Like they're just amazing, these girls. Pattern, you could go to the next slide just to describe more of what it's like. These are three simple questions. Let's just imagine the story of the woman at the well, okay? If you were in a Bible study, you're reading the woman at the well together, with Jesus, you know, Jesus, that story says, what do you learn about God in this story? Or what do you learn about Jesus? It's just a simple question, right? But we learn a lot about God's character when we ask that simple question. What do you learn about people in this story, and what will you put into practice this week? These are like simple questions that are in the Bible, in the first app that we created for Iran. And a lot of the countries that want to create their apps, they also find that it's simplicity is where they want to be and find these simple questions, because what happens is a beautiful word called discovery. When they are in a small group, they're brand new believers and they're in a small group in a country where they're oppressed, if they have a simple way to ask questions that they can grow in who God is, in what he requires of them with people, and how they can put it into practice, they're discovering through the Holy Spirit. They might not have a Bible teacher, but they have the Holy Spirit, they have Scripture, and they have the community. And we have found over and over again, story after story, that these people are growing. They're becoming healthy, and they are not given into heresy and a lot of heretical things, because they're just looking at Scripture, asking about who is God, what is my responsibility, and how will I obey? And it's just beautiful. So they are growing in confidence. They're growing in a vision to also pass it on. And they're growing in the realization that they have permission to do it. So one thing that we're really excited about is that when they have a simple way of reading Scripture like this, they are confident to share it because it's memorable. So they can go to the house next door in these closed countries and they can plant a new small group and things like that. And that goes back to that picture that I showed you, that picture that's always in my mind of the overwhelming need. We have to do things differently, don't we? We have to make the church not complicated. We have to make following Jesus about obedience and not about just all the knowledge that we gain, but about following him. And those are the things that have now given us so much hope. When we can look at the overwhelming need, we see now that God wants to cover the gospel, cover the earth with the gospel in this way.
I love the idea of discovery because it reaffirms something that we should all know. Every single one of us has the ability to hear God's Spirit and his voice, both in his word and beside his word, directly to mind and directly to heart and directly through each other. We all have that. You can't take it away. It's impossible to take away the ability to hear. We can choose not to hear. We can choose not to pay attention, but you can't take away the ability to hear. God just doesn't allow it like that. And it's so beautiful to be able to see that. One of the things we love hearing about is the idea of accessibility. You know, you've got the blind, you have the deaf. And usually what happens is you have different ministries create three different sets of resources. So if you have a deaf person in the family with the hearing people can go to a place and get one thing and the deaf gets something from somewhere else. And we said, what would happen if we make it possible for them all to be able to get from the same place? Inside the same app. That's the goal. Now, you might hear a lot of bad news taking place around the world, because if you watch the news, they'll show you only two things, natural disasters or wars. I mean, that's like 95%, right? But I want you to know that Jesus is on the move around the world, and especially among the places that you might think are dark or difficult or hostile to the gospel. In fact, cross missions organizations, in just the last 3 years, we are tracking 9 million simple churches composed of over 60 million brand new believers in Jesus. That is amazing. I remember hearing the story of a believer in a country who was kidnapped, and he thought, they're taking me away to kidnap, to kill me. And when he opened his eyes, they took the hood off his head. He was surprised because he was surrounded by people from the religious leaders of that religion. He thought, oh, for sure, I'm a dead man. And they said, we're so sorry we had to do that to you and sneak you away like this, but we didn't know any other way so that people wouldn't know that we all want to hear about Jesus. So you might think it's only the common person, but I want to tell you that Jesus cares about the bottom up, from the easy and the obviously hungry to those that you and I look at and judge the book by its cover. And Jesus is on the move around the world. And next slide. Oh, yeah, sorry, next slide. There you go. 9 million simple churches in the last 5 years. That is, the previous 6 years had seen 9 million. So 9 million for 6 years, and then 9 million more in 3 years. How many of you say we'd like to see a Jesus pandemic around the world? And one of the keys of those movements is that we keep it simple. We keep it simple.
So let me show you a picture, and you can go to the next slide. This is this is a simple church. They look like they're just eating food, and they do eat food when they come together. But they start gathering in twos, threes, eight, ten. If we look in the book of Acts, Acts 2, verses 42 through 47, you will see a description of the early church. And it's going to look a lot like these simple churches that we're describing. In Acts, in that part, you would read that they had prayer, they cared for each other, fellowship, generosity, love, scripture reading, the teachings, baptism, the Lord's Supper, sharing the gospel. If these things are in existence, they are a church. Even without all the extras, they can be a church. There was a man who came into our city who was from the country of Syria. We'll call him Hassan, and he was hungry for the gospel. So the team members met with him, and for 1 month, they walked with Hassan with a pattern, something simple that he could remember, like I was talking about. You can go to the next slide, please. So here's what they did. Every time they were together, they would care, like praying together. Finding out, how are you doing? How did you put into practice what you learned last week? Accountability, care. They would also discover. Remember what we talked about, those three questions? When they would read scripture with Hassan, they would allow the Holy Spirit to speak to him. And he looked at scripture and just discovered what God wanted him to do that day. They didn't teach him. They let him discover. And the last thing, going. They would challenge each other and say, okay, how are we going to put this into practice this week? What will it be like? Who will you share this Bible story with this week? So Hassan continued to follow Jesus. He went back into the country of Syria. And for 3 months, they didn't have contact with him. When they got in touch with him again, they asked him how he was doing. And he's like, I'm doing good. Led 30 people to Jesus. And he said, you know, we're following the same pattern that you showed me. Every time we get together, we're caring. We're discovering more about what God wants us to do today, and we're going out and we're sharing. When there's a pattern like that, like we're describing, that's the simplicity that can become reproducible.
There was a great movement. There's great movement to Jesus in India of these simple churches. And someone I know was there at this gathering of kind of who they thought the leaders of this movement to Jesus was. And he saw a little lady in an Indian sari across the room. And so with some help, he went over and just asked her to say, you know, who are you? How are you? Nice to meet you. And she responded by saying, well, get with her name. But I don't know exactly why they asked me to come and speak. He thought, oh, well, that was unexpected in that culture. She said, yeah. She said, I don't know why. She said, I can't read. And I can't write. All I've seen is the sick healed, the dead raised, and planted 100 churches. That takes our idea of what it means to be a disciple maker and a church planner, and it tips that box upside down and taps out all the dust and gives us something new to start with. It says, maybe I need to think differently. Maybe you today need to think differently about yourself, even after all these years of knowing Jesus. Maybe Jesus would say the same to you. What is it we've discovered? What does it mean if we could just give every believer confidence, a little bit of a guide? And that was why we were taking what we were doing for our countries, and we decided to put it into a simple app. Nothing we created, just something we saw other people doing. What if we could help every believer in those countries have that certain thing? And then using technology, as I said earlier, that becomes like the printing press. You can go to the next slide, right? Because not only is the phone in your pocket, how many of you have ever shared something to someone else from your phone? You're part of the solution right there. You thought I was going to say problem. That's part of the solution. Because what happens if it can go from person to person? What happens if the resource can scale endlessly with everyone? What if every believer has put into their life the DNA that I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a disciple, and I'm a disciple maker? And if I'm a disciple maker, I can be a simple church planter. What happens when Bethel Assembly of God becomes the hub, but out into your homes and into the homes of others are the rest of the life? Now the gospel just begins to expand outward. You can still celebrate at your hub, but each one of you becomes a disciple maker and the difference maker. We believe Jesus wants you to know that you have, first of all, that he wants to give you the vision to do it. Secondly, he and Pastor Jeff they want you to know you have the permission to do it. And third, maybe with something that we say, there's an app for that. Next slide. You can feel, oh, one more. You'll see that one right there. You'll feel like you have the confidence to do it. Something just enough so you can pull it out. My favorite story in Scripture is, one of my favorite, is the story of the Gadarene demoniac. One gospel book says one demon-possessed man, one says two. But the story is the same. They're filled with demons. He comes down. He's filled with demons. He meets Jesus. Jesus casts out the demons. And then goes into a herd of pigs. That's just a distraction, but it's fun. And then it says at the end of the day, he's sitting clothed and in his right mind, which also probably means bathed. And now the people demand that Jesus leaves. Right? They think they're getting rid of their problem. And the man says, please let me go with you. And Jesus says, no. You go and tell. And it says when Jesus came back to the region that called the Decapolis, all 10 cities had heard of Jesus. From a man who's demon-possessed in the morning, has an afternoon with the king, not much. And yet he goes and tells every single one of you have exactly what you need. You can hear God's spirit. You have some of his stories in your heart. You can make disciples of Jesus. Jordy and the team in Estonia are hard at work. And they're not trying to go and overcome all the nuances of what the established church is in that region of the world where it's mostly in the head and they're more atheistic or agnostic in those cultures. And they're starting to meet in homes, to gather seekers and people in homes. And they're getting ready to, they're using English with their international crowd, but the people that they're reaching are actually Estonian. So they want to take what they're doing in these discipleship, small, simple groups, and they want to put it into the language of the people. They don't want Jesus' message to be confused with English. Jesus is not about English. He loves you English speakers. He loves the Filipino speakers. He likes the Spanish speakers. He's just about people. And so the project that you're hearing about from Pastor Kevin and you're joining with some other churches in North Dakota, it costs us roughly about $10,000 to create an app from start to finish for these groups. Usually a missionary team will get $5,000 and then we'll try to raise the other $5,000. The group of churches joining together are actually trying to raise the whole $10,000. For this app. But the goal is to do basically simply what you've seen in the pictures and you've heard us say, is to get it to those first Estonian believers. We're going to go back into their family groups and friends first. And then that group is going to take it into their family group and their friends. In fact, there's a large outreach coming into the country of Estonia through the Billy Graham Association in summer of 2025. And they're going to take that app. They've decided to choose that app as the way that when people respond at that outreach, their goal isn't just to get them to the front to respond. They're going to take the app with those people that meet them at the front, and then they're going to group them into small groups and homes throughout the country. And that's what that project and you can be a part of from the very beginning. Everybody say, now that is cool. I think that's really, really cool. So when missionaries like us travel around, we're always networking. We're always trying to connect everybody with everybody. And as Cammie said about your children's, brother, I forgot your name in the back, Marina's husband. Aaron? Eric. Thank you, Eric. Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jan. He said, he was telling me about when your son told you guys that he was wanted to go up to Alaska to be a part of that work. He said, and I was just a normal Filipino dad. He said, but I have a plan for your life. Right? And I told him he's absolutely normal for our parents, but parents, be ready to let God send your sons and your daughters to wherever, whenever God wants to send them. When he does that, you are blessing the nations. You're blessing the nations. Some of you, it's your grandchildren. And you love them and you're not going to see them as much. Let God's heart fill you so much that you're willing to send your children and your grandchildren. This church has supported us for many years financially. And this is kind of the end of our year of traveling. And this work has continued throughout the year and is waiting for us full time on the other side. If you want to add on to that support as individuals, you can do that. You can go to the next slide, that the one before. Actually, I should have shown this one time, Estonia. That's a picture of a team in Nepal when they created their app. You can see the guy's recording studio. Pretty nice, huh? Those recordings came through in the bottom right with some motorcycles in the background. But how many of you know Jesus probably told his stories with chickens, pigs, and screaming children, right? We do like to say, when you think of simplicity, don't let excellence ever stop you, okay? This was excellent. The music, everything you do here is excellent. But just be yourself with people. That's all that actually needs to happen with Jesus. Don't worry about being perfect. Okay, you can go a couple slides forward to the one that says pattern. You can sign up for a newsletter if you want to hear about the work, and one more. And then you can learn a little bit more about how you're going to be helping Estonia and what that all means.
You know, when I was a little girl at Lakewood Park Bible Camp, it's not very far from here, right? And I was praying one night, and I don't remember what was being preached, but this is the prayer that kind of came out of some deep place in my heart. I said, God, if there's any place that nobody wants to go, or if there's people that nobody wants to love, then I'll go, and I'll love them, and I'll let them know that you love them. And when I prayed that, I just felt like God was smiling, not because I was special, but because I prayed a surrender prayer. And I feel like this morning we need to make space for that. Surrender phrases or surrender prayers. What is it that God has put on your heart that you said, God, I'll do that? Whatever it is, I encourage you to surrender. And then later on, when I was at Trinity Bible College and all the pieces kind of came together for me after going on mission trips and seeing different things, seeing a map of the 1040 window, that surrender prayer became a send me prayer. I literally begged God to just let me go be with them. Just let me go. Just let me be with them. And God's call is about when we surrender, and then it becomes a send me. Even if it's sending your children. Right now, it might seem so impossible for you to even imagine, but if you start with a surrender prayer, eventually the desire for that nation to be blessed with the gospel will consume you, and you will begin to pray a send me prayer over them too. I'd like us just to close our eyes and take a few moments right now. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. What is your surrender prayer? What phrases has God given you in the past? Can you turn it into a send me kind of prayer? Sending you or your family? Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would put the mission of God heavy on this church again and again. You've done it in the past, Holy Spirit, and we ask you to do it again, that the mission of God would rest on this assembly. God, we pray that as they sit at this table and eat food, that each of us would have a sense that you are sending out the gospel to the world. Thank you for that, Holy Spirit. Carry the God's mission on our heart. And now I'd like you to continue to close your eyes and just think, who in your sphere needs Jesus? Who do you know throughout the week that needs Jesus? Maybe there's a place that comes to your mind. Maybe there's people. Maybe there's a phrase. I'd just like you to take a moment and listen to the Holy Spirit, whoever he puts on your heart. Thank you for doing that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You can open your eyes, look at each other, look at me. Now, when we did that in absolute silence, it might seem kind of strange to not have music going, but the Holy Spirit is with us, isn't he? Just like a house church, they might not have anything like that, but the Holy Spirit is with you. He is with us. I'd like you to do something now. I want you to be brave. I want you to talk to somebody beside you or across from you. Anything about what the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart from this service. Maybe there was something we said at the very beginning. Maybe it's something at the very end when we sit in silence and ask, who needs Jesus? All right, can you guys do that? You're already sitting well and comfortable so you can talk. I would like you to just share anything the Holy Spirit has put on your heart from this service. Give you a couple moments. Thank you so much for doing that. You guys can continue. I just want to add one little thing now. One little piece of what it is like in a house church. Everything, what you're just doing when you're sharing afterwards of what God showed you, then because you've done that, that means next time you get together, like so for you, it would be next week. For maybe a house church, it might be in 2 days. But next time you get together, you get to share how it went. Like, oh, this is what the Lord showed me. Like you shared, this is what God put on my heart. Well, then what action you put into play, however you walked it out, you get to celebrate together. I guess it's called accountability. We don't like that word. But couldn't it be fun and exciting if every time Pastor Kevin preached, at the end, if you turned to each other and started sharing, wow, this is what I got from the Lord today. This is what God put on my heart today. And then when you get back together next week, you share. This is how it went. I went down to Jamestown, and this is what happened. I met so-and-so, and I shared the gospel. Just to give you an idea of how fun accountability can be in a house church. All right, Pastor Kevin, thank you so much.
Hey, man, wow. Thank you, Sanders, for challenging us. I just want to give you a few directions, and then Becky's